Praise the Lord. Shall we bow our heads? Lord Jesus, we're a grateful people, Lord, to know that you're here. But Lord, it's not just here. You're with the people that desire your presence. Doesn't matter if they're in the darkest Africa jungle. They might be tucked away in a place in Russia. Somewhere that we've never heard of, they could be, and desire to know God, you're there, Lord. Anybody that desires the presence of Almighty God has it granted to them if they have a true heart towards God. We thank you, Lord, that you are here, because you said where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Lord, we expect a blessing today, because you are in the midst. Help us, Lord, to have prepared hearts, to have the right attitude, to look forward to a blessing that only God can give. We know, Lord, we can be upgraded and be happy about this and happy about that, but it's a very different thing to have the presence of the Lord in our life. We love you, Lord Jesus. We want to worship you in song and praise today. Cause the people that join in to be blessed as well, wherever they are. They may be mobile, they may be sitting in a sitting room, they may be just without even watching us, just desiring to know God. You're there. Never alone is the song that we often sing. We thank you, Lord. Bless this service, we ask in Jesus' precious name. We mention at this time just particularly those in India, and the circumstance that they have is critical, but Lord, you are still God. You will bless those people because they desire to meet you again, Lord. And you will be there. Bless them, heal them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I understand we've got a fellow here called Mike. That right? Is it Mike? Yes. Yes, so I understand, according to Brian was telling me. And that's good. Lord bless you. Glad to see you. And Brother Curry is here too, and Sister Y, and may they be blessed. Okay, shall we stand and sing number 503, It's Setting Me Free, This Holy Ghost Power.
It's setting me free, this Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free, this very hour. It's guiding my soul, it's making me whole. It's setting me free, free, free.
Amen. If you're in a tight spot, wherever you might be, and you don't know what you should do about it, sometimes it can be a small thing, sometimes it can be a big thing. Just be glad that God's with you. And just that alone will call the presence of the Lord, and he's right with you. Let's sing All Hail King Jesus. That's what we're here for.
All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity I'm going to praise you, and forevermore I'll reign with you. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity I'm going to praise him, yes, and forevermore I'll reign with him.
Let's sing it again. Eternity, and you'll be ever for praising him, you'll be doing it now, because unless you're doing it now, you might not get there. So we need to praise the Lord here and now, as if the Lord is right here. And you know what, he is here. Okay, the day's coming when we'll see him with our eyes natural. Let's sing What a Mighty God We Serve, number 585. And he is a mighty God. Think about the things that he's done for you in your life up to this time. And he will see you through into glory.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
Whether in a good spot or a bad spot or just on the spot, he is a mighty God. Okay, Once My Soul Was Astray, number 133. Was that you? Once My Soul Was Astray? Didn't know where you're going, what to do? Let's sing about it.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way and was rendered one as permitted, but my Savior above gave me his joy and love when he reached
Amen. You know, the Lord's not coming for this church, that church, whatever church, this church. He's not coming for that. He's coming for you. You're His son or you're His daughter. It's as real as that. If you're the only one in this world, He died for you. But He died for us all. If we receive Him, then it can be reality. That's what we can when we're worshiping the Lord. Do we have any items this morning? Anyone? No one told me. You will. Oh, I was looking at Leah. Okay, well, let's have it right now. And while you're getting that ready, you may be seated, folks. I got a note here from Sister Maria. And it's saying that Brother Curry, who's sitting in the back there, doing okay after his sister had passed on. So she's just letting us know that. And we'll have a prayer request a little later. If there's anyone that has a prayer request, because we don't have any new ones or other than one. Any others at all in the congregation? Okay, you folks out there listening on the internet, if you have a need, leave it to the Lord. But you know what? You've got to give it to Him. The Lord's not going around to say, you're right, you're right. We need to ask, and it shall be granted to you. And that's what we need to do. So this is our Sister Merle going to sing for us.
I dreamed that I had died and gone to heaven. I stood just outside the eastern gate, and a man from within said, have you been born again? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go. I told him all the things that I had done. I took all the trophies I had. The man said to me, have you been set free? And is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go. And then he turned and left me standing there. Oh, my sinner, it, you want to make it in. Your name must begin the length of life. Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Search the book again before you make me go. Please search the book again before you make me go.
Thank you, Sister Mel. Search the book again. You know what? The Lord's not going to lose one son or one daughter. Not one will be lost. But there's a lot of sons and daughters around the world that don't know yet that they're sons and daughters of God. They'll find out. Maybe the hard way, but they'll find out. So we've got to make sure that we understand where we stand in the family of God. Shall we sing number 517? God is so good. While you remain seated, we'll sing that one, 517. Just think about it. He really is good to us. God is so good. God is so God is so good, is so good to me. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. I've been thinking about that last verse a lot. He's coming soon. And it just made my heart a bit sad to think that so many, many, many people do not realize that. Even Christians, lot don't realize that God is coming soon. Could be next month. Could be tomorrow. We don't know. But we do know He is coming. He's promised it. And God doesn't make a promise or doesn't say anything unless it's the truth. He cannot lie. We heard that last week. God cannot lie. And He has said in His word that He's coming soon. Amen. Let's sing another one here. Number 130. We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. It's true. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. It's the truth.
We find many people who can't understand. So happy and free. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me.
Yes.
This is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. Heaven to me. Oh, when I get happy, I'd sing and I'd shout. Devils don't believe it, I see. I'm filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt. And that's what's the matter with me.
Amen.
This is like heaven.
You know why you get so happy about it? Because you're part of it.
Amen.
You're a part of it. Lovely. You may be seated again. We don't have any new prayer requests here, except one or two, actually. And this is one from Sister Maria. Moruru's Maria's sister in remission, doing well in the Waikato Hospital, just letting you know that. And then we have another one here, and it's actually on my phone here, if I don't mess it up. And it's actually a text, and it's from Ingrid, Sister Maria's daughter, is it? Ingrid, and it reads, "You are in my prayers." Oh, sorry, it's got here. There we go. "Dearest Brother Howard and Sister June and family, hi everyone. I hope 2021 has been good to you all. We are nearly halfway through already, and won't be long before we shall be singing Christmas carols. I'm sure this email will find you all well in our church family. All is well here in Kalgoorlie. I have just started to apply for work, and there's about three that I'd like to be considered for, so fingers crossed. So this is a prayer request here. Two are in customer service and one with mining sector, so I wonder which way my journey will go," with a big smiley face. "I just want you to know I miss fellowship with you all, especially Maria, and miss everybody's company. I hope a nice house drops down from heaven and we can come back to live." Smiley face again. "You are in my prayers and thoughts, often with fondness and smiles. Love and blessings, Ingrid and Peora." So I just thought I'd read it out and then you can see. Okay. Well, we didn't have any other requests here right now, but if it, we have one, Sister June. Okay, I didn't pick up the name. Trudy and Peggy Schultz.
Siggy Schultz.
Okay, well, the Lord knows the need. And if anyone else has any, just give it to the Lord from your heart, and He will answer. Believe it, He will answer. Okay, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we're very grateful that you're a truthful, honest, healing, wonderful, and only God. Lord, we can have needs in our life, sometimes the trials and testings, things that we need to understand that even if we can't go and through this particular problem that's facing us, we know that you'll go with us. You don't send us off. You walk with us. You're in our heart. You uplift us. You encourage us. You give us the thoughts, Lord, what to do. And if we have to forgive somebody, you will put the words in our mouth. And may we just be honest, Lord, and just let the Holy Spirit lead us in what we say and do in the things in our life. Sometimes we need encouragement, and we can be very low, but the Lord's right there. Talk to Him. We want to talk to you, Lord. You talk to us. You just put things in our mind, and we need to do something about it. Lord, we love you. We really love you, Lord. And to know that you died on the cross of Calvary for us, and anybody that wants to receive you can. All they've got to do is make it known to you that they repent, they get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. That's what it says. That's the truth. And Peter told us that, Lord, and that's God's word, and you cannot lie. I believe it. You confirm it when we do it, Lord. Help us to understand the words of God in the Scripture that are for us, even though it's spoken many, many hundred years ago. It's still the truth today, and the day is coming, not too far away, when you will be coming into taking us back to be with you. We're so grateful. Bless all those on the internet, wherever they are. Help them, Lord, in their need. Whatever they have before you, thank you for undertaking. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's sing number 124. I am weak, but thou art strong. Shall we stand as we sing? We have a meeting this afternoon, 1 p.m., and we have luncheon for all are invited immediately after this service. I am weak, but thou art strong.
As I walk, there
Let us pray just before Brother Howard comes up and does what the Lord has given him to say. Lord Jesus, just a closer walk with you. It's exactly what we want, Lord. And when that happens, Lord, you are involved in everything we do, say, think. Whatever we try to do, Lord, guide us. It is so, Lord, because we need the guidance of God. That evil one, Satan, the devil, is out trying to interrupt us, trying to trip us up, trying to cause us to go the wrong way. But, Lord, with you beside us, you in us, you will have your way, Lord. And we desire that, Lord. We want the presence of God in our lives. Help us to believe in prayer that what we've asked that you will attend to, because you've promised that you would. Help us to see God in all things. Cause us to be a testimony that you want us to be. That person we spoke to the other day, may they be touched in their heart, because there was something about that what you gave us to say caused them to think about it. That could be the call of God for them. Use us, Lord, the way that you want us to be. We thank you, Lord, that we have a place of worship. Bless the people on the internet that are listening in. We ask it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Harry.
Thank you, Brother Lee. I'm getting a bit hot. Is anyone getting hot? It's pretty hot up here. We'll just turn this off. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who's happy to be a Christian?
Amen.
Amen. Good to see you, brother. Known him a long time. Many years. And he's just desiring to be a witness wherever he goes. So may God bless him. And we just pray that God will speak to our hearts this morning. I'm not sure where the yellow coat brother is. I really miss him. I've not been here and his family. But I pray that God will help them. Whatever. Maybe he's just totally worn out, you don't know. You know, with his driving and early hours of the morning and all. But we pray that God will bless them. Hallelujah. I just want to stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, which says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now I want you to notice something right through this whole sermon. The word dwell in you, or in you. It's everywhere and it's very important. We're not talking about somebody outside. We're talking about somebody comes to dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And of Christ to be in you, there again. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise be to God. So may God bless his precious word. You know, I just want to say about the dwelling. If I come to your house and knock on the door, and you answer the door and said, hi, and I say hi, but then I just stand at the door. I don't dwell in your house. I'm just passing by. If I go in there and you give me a room to sleep in, then I'm dwelling in your house. It's not just a little visit. I want to dwell there. And with Christ, it's not just a little visit. He wants to come and live in you. That is very important. And may God speak to us today. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to thee in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit, who's present now, will come and make this word live in our hearts. Lord, we're just living in an hour that's so, oh God, it's just like you said it would be. You said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? There's so much faith lacking. Lord, people are just drifting around. But I pray, God, that you'll keep us until that glorious hour, which I pray is soon. We want to see you, Lord. We want you to be dwelling in us. I pray that you'll help us today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is the first sermon on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is the one we said we're going to speak about, Sister Mari. She said, I want to be there for all those. So we've got the first one today. The next one will be next Sunday, because we've got communion this afternoon. So it'll be today, and then next Sunday will be the next one. The following Sunday will be the next one. And the last, fourth Sunday will be the last one on this very, very important subject. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will come in power and confirm it in your life. We just don't want to have a whole lot of knowledge, head knowledge. I want to be a Christian in my heart, as we said on the prayer meeting. I want to be a Christian in my heart. Praise the Lord. This subject on the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not just a subject. You know, like, oh, what are we going to speak about? We'll speak about faith, or we'll speak about love. And then they're all wonderful things, of course. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's the very kernel of the gospel. It's the very kernel of the gospel. It's a very intimate experience for the believer to be in the rapture and to be taken to be with the Lord. So it's really important. And it's the first stage, it's the final stage in redemption, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a final stage in redemption which guarantees you a place in that rapture. You'll be guaranteed to be there. It's like having your ticket. If you've got an aeroplane, you don't just look at the plane and say, I'd like to go on that plane. No, you could have a ticket. You can say, I'm dressed to go. I'm ready to go. No, you could have a ticket. And they want to see it. You've got the ticket, you're not getting on. And we need to have this token. The token is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we must have. It's also the most debated subject in Scripture. It really is. Because Satan fears it. If there's one thing that he fears, is to see the baptism of the Holy Ghost in believers' lives. He's happy for you to go to church. He's happy for you to do good things and carry your Bible. That doesn't bother him one bit. But really, what really troubles him is when a believer is filled with the Holy Ghost. God comes into you and dwells in you forever. Isn't that wonderful? When he comes in, brother, He's there to stay. He's not in and out. He's always in you. So I just pray that even though it's the most debated subject in Scripture, because Satan fears it, we said, this very important subject has generated the most questions of today. You know, I've been around a little while, not too long, but some have, but I've seen so much of it, and it's really sad that people have moved away from the gospel. This very important subject has created so many questions, and Satan has tried to make it complex. Oh, he's made it so complex to keep people from receiving it. Makes it hard to get there. Oh, that's way over there. Why, I can't get to that. That's nonsense. Don't you listen to the devil. It's for you. Who wants the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And the subject on the baptism of the Holy Ghost needs to be approached, as I said previously, into four sections. I mean, it could be more sections, but this is what I have felt to do. And for you people that are joining us on the internet, we appreciate you coming, because we've had so many people coming. It's just really lovely to see. The first one is, why do we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That's our first subject. Why do we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I almost brought my whiteboard today and put it up here to write some things. But you can listen and to what I'm saying. It's really simple. I'm not a teacher as such. But I just pray that the Lord will speak to us. The second one is how to prepare to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's really important. You've got to know how to prepare to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Number three is, how do we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You know, you go out there, and I don't want to be critical, but out there there's a whole lot of crazy ideas on how to receive the Holy Ghost. But we want to take this from the Scriptures, from the Word of God. And the last one will be, how do we know we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Who wants to know that? I want to tell you, you can know. So today we want to speak about, why do we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It's not why do we want to be a church member? Why do we come to this church or that church? Those things are all very nice. But that doesn't answer your question for your soul. And so we need to know why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And before we go any further, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is an identification. It's a stamp of approval from God that you belong to God. You can belong to the church, doesn't mean you belong to God. Now, these things are so serious and important for us. People say, you come to our church, you'll go to heaven. That's not like that at all. It may help you. But God puts an identification on you. He puts a stamp on you, a token. You know what a token is? You know the lady in the Bible, she had those seven tokens. I think it was seven, wasn't it? Doesn't matter, but anyway, they were tokens. She lost one. Oh, boy. Because they were virtues for a husband. And she couldn't find it. She started looking everywhere. Dust were flying in that house. Brooms were going. She spent hours looking for that token she had lost before her husband came home, before the Lord comes home to take his bride. And she looked everywhere and she couldn't find it. All of a sudden, she found the token. And there was great rejoicing, and all the neighbors came over and they were so happy because it meant so much. And it means so much for you and I to have the token in our forehead. The Holy Spirit token of the Holy Spirit to be in our forehead. So may God grant that to us, that identification. So without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we don't have the sealing that we belong to God. And that's serious. It's a sealing. It's God's seal. Not our seal, it's not the church's seal. It's God's seal that we belong to him. She is mine. He is mine. There it is. And Satan sees it. He can't touch that seal. Hallelujah. We want to have it. Who wants to have it? I want to have that seal above everything in this wide world. So we see it's got to be there. It's serious. This translation here, literal translation says, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them, that dwelling, do not belong to Him at all. Wow. So it's more than coming to church, more than preaching, more than being a singer. And those are great things. But do you have the seal? So this is an extremely important message. And I pray for you and each one that will be listening. Why do we need it? Why do we need this? Now, the first thing we want to speak about, you can write these headings down, this is where I was going to write them on a board. It is the resurrection power in you. It's the fire in you. You know they're talking about rockets at the moment. There's meant to be one flitting around here somewhere from China. It's coming down. Hope it doesn't land on us. It's a big one. But you know what? You can see a big rocket. But inside that rocket's not going to go anywhere. It can be a nice big one standing on the stand. It's not going anywhere unless it's got the fire in it. It's got to have the power in the rocket to take it up. And brother and sister, we need the power on the inside of us to take us up. This church can't give you that fire. This church cannot give you the material that's going to take you up there. So without a resurrection of our bodies, our faith is all in vain. I don't want to be left here. I want to go to be with my Lord. Hallelujah. So, no matter how much we rejoice, no matter how much we go to church, or how much of a great revelation we have, and you could have a good revelation, that is not the power to take you up in the rocket. You've got to have something indwelling you that's going to get you out of here. And I need it, and you need it. We want to know, will we rise again? Will we rise again? You know, Job, in the Bible, he had that same question. And this is what he said in Job 14:13. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me in secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. And he asks the Lord this question, if a man die, shall he live again? Who wants to know the answer to that? Amen. If a man die, will he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Isn't it a revelation? He knew, Paul, there's going to be a change come. When my change comes, you're the very good brother, Brother Job. Praise the Lord. According to Scripture, the Holy Ghost in you is the only thing that can raise you up in this rocket. I'm just saying the rocket so you understand what I'm talking about. You need the combustion, a power beyond human strength to take you up. Now, first reading in Romans 8:11 confirms that truth, which says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell, this word dwell in you, inside of you, not on the outside. Oh, I feel the Spirit out here. No, He's living in you. If it dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, this flesh. If it's left like this, it's going to die and rot and be put in the grave. But it says there, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that's in church. No. What does it say? By his spirit that dwelleth in you. Everyone's got to have that combustion. Every person's got to have that power. Praise be to God. So it has to dwell in you. Not coming to church to get some Holy Spirit. Some people come to church to get some Holy Spirit. No, brother and sister, you've got to come to church bringing the Holy Spirit. If he's dwelling in you, Brother Tom, you bring him to church. That's why it's so important we dwell together. All dwell together in the unity in one place, and every person brings the Holy Spirit into the church. We've got a glorious time on our hands. Who believes? One accord. Who wants to have the Holy Spirit? Bring him to church. I want to bring him to church. Praise God. Don't you love the Lord? So wonderful. So you bring the Holy Spirit to church. Now this is a supernatural miracle that takes place in the human body. And the Bible all speaks a lot about it. Because, you know, one day you're like this. The next day, Sister Roberta, it'll change. This hand's going to change. His arms, our legs, everything. And you know what else? We're going to look a lot younger. Think of that, Brother Lee. Hallelujah. Who believes it? It'll be. Let's read what the Bible says about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 53. For this corruption. This is a corruption. You've seen sores and boils on yourself. And it's horrible. The body can just go down like that. Phew. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. Do you know what this means? You know those words, what they mean? It's a total change of status of your body. You know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Doesn't happen very often, but this time it's going to happen to us. Hallelujah. So, in 1 Corinthians 15:53, it says, for this corruptible shall put on corruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, I want to read you to that from the Amplified Bible. For this perishable part of us, this flesh and blood, this perishable part of us must put on imperishable nature. And this mortal part of us, this nature that is capable of dying, must put on immortality, freedom from death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. If you die with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in you, the quickening power is already in you. You're fired up already. The rocket's ready to go because before you died, you were filled with that resurrection power. Not a churchgoer. That's great going to church. It's more than that. You've got to have the power of God living in you, dwelling in you. A wonderful example of this, the Bible. We go to 2 Kings chapter 13. And Elisha died and they buried him. So they put him in the grave. In the tomb. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. So he's buried, and then that same year, they had a war. And it came to pass as they were burying a man, he'd probably been hit by an arrow or something, that behold, they spied a band of men. They saw the enemy. They said, we haven't got time to bury this fellow. So they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha, who was probably buried a year or so before that. And when the man was let down, listen carefully. When the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet. You talk about power The power of the Holy Ghost in Elisha's body only had to touch a dead man and he came alive again. Isn't that wonderful? This is the same power we're referencing to. For all believers who have the Holy Ghost. So it's already in us. And Job knew by revelation, dear brother Job, he knew by revelation the resurrection power was Christ, his Redeemer. He knew it. In Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Who knows your Redeemer liveth? "He liveth and he shall stand in the latter day." That's here. We are in the latter day now. This is the last days upon the earth. And he said, "Though after my skin worms destroy this corruptible body, yet my flesh shall see God." This is wonderful. This is great news. And it was revealed to him. Christ, our Redeemer, was alive in Job's day. Who believes that? Of course he was. Jesus said in John 8:58, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now that's a present tense. Before Abraham was, Jesus said, "I am." In other words, I never had any beginning and I had no ending. For God is eternal. He was way back there with Abraham. He's with us today and he's going to be with us in the coming of the Lord. So it's a present tense. "And did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them." This is in the wilderness, in Moses' time now. And that rock was Christ. He was in the wilderness. Isn't that wonderful? And so we see that he's always been, like the angels in heaven said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come." And he's here today. Amen. The same Holy Spirit that was and is to come. God is eternal. And in being eternal, he cannot have any beginning and he can have no ending. So when you get him inside of you, you've got an eternal God living in you. And you get all of the attributes that he has in you. Praise be to the Lord. You know, this old body, people talk about their body, "I'm getting old and I'm sick and I look like this and I look like that." Listen, forget it. You know, Job said, "Though the skin's worms destroy this body, in my flesh I shall see God." He knew. So he was way back there. All the Old Testament believers were depending upon their Redeemer. They're depending on their Redeemer and still are. When the Redeemer came, he said, I love this. I love the scripture. In John 11:25, this is what our Redeemer said. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me," who believes in the Lord?
Amen.
"Though he were dead, yet shall he live." Powerful words. Hallelujah. The same power God uses to raise the Holy Ghost believer, the same power that he used to raise the Holy Ghost believer, he used it on himself. He gave it a test. God tested the resurrection power on himself. Oh, brothers, this is so tremendous. We serve a mighty God. Let's turn to John 10:17. This is what he said, our Lord. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life." I, Jesus, laid down my life. This is what Jesus said. "And that I, Jesus, might take it again." Do you know who we're dealing with? An almighty creator. "No man taketh it from me." No man took his life from him. "But I lay it down of myself." The Romans never took Jesus' life. Jesus said he laid down his own life. They might have been used. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what? He did it. He did it. He went down and laid down his life, and he died. And he gave up the ghost. And 3 days, he came out of that grave. Are you a part of this? Who's a part of it? Listen, brothers and sisters, this is not just a teaching. This is my life. This is what I believe I'm going to be a part of. Are you going to be a part of this? If you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be a part of it. Hallelujah. So we see the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Let's turn to this in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15:51. You know, what I'm saying is here, if we die in the Holy Ghost, we are guaranteed a body change. If the Holy Ghost is in us when we go in the grave, Paul didn't care less. You know, Paul the Apostle said, whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. Isn't that wonderful, Sister Marnie? Whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. Hallelujah. Just so wonderful to have that resurrection power dwelling in you. So we're living with the Holy Ghost. When he comes, we shall be changed. Whether we die or whether we live, if we've got him inside of us, there's going to be a change take place. Let's read this in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. It's a mystery to a lot of people. They don't understand. We shall not all sleep. That means not in bed. It means being dead in the grave. We shall not all sleep. Many of us will be awake, alive, when the Lord comes. But we shall all be changed. There's coming a change. Hallelujah, there's coming a change. You know, I'm not going to worry about the stupid old body. Oh, thank you, Lord. I thank you for it. But it's been very helpful. But, you know, it's just for don't people say, oh, my body, this, I feel like this, I feel like that. Listen, there's going to be a change come for you. If you are a believer, there's going to be a change. And when we die in the Holy Ghost, we are guaranteed a body change. If we're living with the Holy Ghost, when he comes, we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's a tenth of a second. You talk about the power of God. You say, how can he do it? He can do anything. The Bible says with man, it may be impossible. With God, all things are possible. So we read this Corinthians again. 15:51. Behold, I show you, Mr. We shall not all sleep. At the coming of the Lord, a lot of us will be still awake, alive. And we shall all be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. I'm going to be a part of this. Who's going to be a part of this?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We shall be changed. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, you know, brothers and sisters, not giving our opinion. We don't want people's opinion. We want to say what God's word says. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, who believes he died and rose again? Do you believe that? So, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, that's they die in Christ with God dwelling in them. They put them in the coffin and put them under the ground. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. Hallelujah. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise second. Doesn't sound right, does it? the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those in the graves are coming up first and will be seen. Then we which are alive and remain, that's us still living, shall be caught up together to be with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe that. That is my ultimate desire. That is the climax of any believer, is not to be sitting around in this dog pest house. But we're going to be changed. The risen saints are going to be with us first. They'll be here first. We'll fellowship with them and to be taken up together to meet the Lord in the air. Who loves that?
Amen.
This is what God's word says. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's why we're speaking it. To comfort you. It's not all down here. It's up there. It's God dwelling in us. This is what I'm looking forward to, is God being in us. So we see it's a resurrection. It's a rocket's been filled. The rocket has to have the fuel put in there. And the fuel and the type is the Holy Ghost. That's the only way you're going to go up, not being a church member. The only way you're going to go up is to know the Lord and to be filled with His Spirit and have His Spirit dwelling in you. So that's the first one we got through. It's a resurrection. That's why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're going to be grounded on ground zero if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost has something else it does for you, which is very important. It preserves you. It will actually preserve you. Nothing else will. Without it, you will not be able to stand in this evil hour. You won't be able to. You need the Holy Ghost to preserve you. What happens to fruit that's not preserved? It goes bad. And when you get preserved, fruit's preserved, it's kept for many months, sometimes years. And brother and sister, you're not going to be kept without the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled with that keeping power. People fail to understand. You can lose what you've received. You know, the Bible's full of it. I accepted the Lord. I'm going to walk with the Lord. Yeah, you've got to be very careful. You need something to keep you. You want to keep that in you, what's been given to you. The Bible says that the word can be taken out of your heart. Now let's turn to Matthew 13:18, which says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, the devil, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside," Jesus giving the interpretation of the parable. "But he that received the seed into stony places," the other group, "the same as he that heareth the word, and with annoy," means immediately, "with joy receives the word which he hears." I believe that. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. "Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while." He goes to church for a while. "For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." They can't accept the truth of God's word. Some might say, "The word keeps me." You've heard people say, "The word keeps me." Well, that sounds good, but it requires something else with the word. The Spirit of the living God abiding in you with the word keeps you. In John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one exception, a man be born of water and," conjunction, "born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." It says in the Amplified, Jesus answered, "I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot even enter the kingdom of God." Now, the water represents the Word of God. That's what the water represents. The Bible says, you can read it for yourself. It says, the washing of the water on your life is by the Word of God. The Word of God brings conviction and changes things in you. You can read that in Ephesians 5:26. The Word by itself will not do it. Listen carefully. It will not do it. A bunch of people come to church and be full of the Word and still not have any life change. That's true. Absolutely true. The scribes and Pharisees knew the Word backwards. They knew the Word backwards. They said they could get a knife and get the scroll, roll it up. They knew it so well, roll the scroll and get a dagger. They had a dagger. They throw it through that scroll, and they'll tell you which words it hit. That's how much they knew the Word. It was just full of it. They quoted it. They read it daily. They knew the Word, but they crucified the Lord of glory. You can know the Word and still not know the Lord. But we need the Word of God. But we need the Holy Spirit to make it real. That's the difference. You've got to have all the mix together. All the ingredients must be there. The Word of God with the Spirit, the water and the Spirit brings forth life. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13:2, and though I had the gift of prophecy and understanding all the mysteries, he says, and know all knowledge, and though I have faith that I can remove mountains, and have not charity. And what is charity? It's God Himself. He is love. I am nothing, he said. So we cannot just say, I believe, and therefore I've got it. So what keeps us? We're kept by the power of God. Every person here is kept by the power of God. He's got his hand on you. Isn't that wonderful? Does it say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So we're kept by the power of God. You can read that in 1 Peter 1:5. I've got so many scriptures. I'm not going to do every one because I'd never get home. You wouldn't either. We are preserved by the Holy Ghost baptism. That's why it's so important. We're preserved. Why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? A resurrection power on the rocket to take you up. And then we have it also that it keeps us and preserves us like the fruit. It's the only thing that can keep you. You won't keep yourself. You try hard, you'll never do it. We are preserved by the Holy Ghost baptism. Many just repent. And then they become sanctified. They live a nice clean life. And that's good. And they stop there. And that's bad. A very dangerous place to be. In 2 Peter 2:20, we read this. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, Paul said, through the knowledge of the Lord, and Savior Jesus Christ, they again are entangled there and get back into the world, and they're overcome, and their latter end is worse with them than the beginning. There's no going back, my brother and sister. You can't go back into the world again. It won't work. You'll be worse off than you ever were. So we need something to keep us. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. Do you know Jesus said the very same thing? Let's read this in Matthew 12:43. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. He's been cast out of a person. And he findeth no rest. And he saith, I'll return into my house. He calls that person my house. What a crook. From whence I came out. And when he has gone out, he findeth it. When he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Oh, man, this guy's cleaned up so much. He doesn't drink and smoke, and he goes to church. Then goeth he and taketh with him this devil, seven other spirits more wicked than himself. So they come back to the house. Open the door, we're coming back in. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. You need somebody in you to keep those devils out. And that's the Holy Ghost. They can't get past him. Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. So it's really important that we understand these things. So we all need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be kept. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed," that's sealed, "unto the day of redemption." When you get the Holy Ghost, you'll be kept right to the rapture. Praise the Lord. Who loves the Lord? Oh, I tell you what, we don't want to have an acquaintance with the Lord. We want him to dwell in us. Now, we just found out it's going to rapture you. The power of the Holy Ghost is in you. It's going to rapture you. And it's going to keep you when you have it. There's another very important thing why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is not just an interesting subject. You need this. It's the overcoming power. Who needs overcoming power? When the devil comes and tempts you, and he comes tempting you big time, who knows what a temptation is? It's really serious. A temptation puts you down into hell if you let it get a hold of you. But when you have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God in you, he gives you strength. Let's read 1 John chapter 4. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in church." Doesn't say that, does it, Brother Charlie? "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." This is why you need that protection. You're going to go sliding down. Talk about a backslider. You need the Holy Ghost to keep you. We cannot go far in our walk without the overcoming power. You know, Jesus made this wonderful statement. I quote it just about every day. "For without me, you can do nothing." You can do nothing without the Holy Spirit being in you. We cannot go far in our walk without the overcoming power. That's why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, "For without me, you can do nothing." How many times do we feel almost overcome with the enemy? Who's ever felt that? Two, three, four. There's times when you feel you can be overcome with the enemy. Really powerful. And the Bible says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood." He comes like a flood. He overwhelms you with all manner of things, of bad news or sickness or whatever it is. Or persecution from those that should know better. "The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." God raises a standard in you. The Spirit of God raises up, and he gives you that anointing. No matter what people say and criticize you, the Spirit of God gives you that strength to stand for him. You can't do it on yourself. You go flat on your face. You need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the baptism. The Holy Spirit is to keep us. And every bride member will have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They will have it. Not maybe. They will. So we know he keeps us. That's why we need him. Next thing is, he is our teacher. I'll tell you right now, I am not your teacher. No man is your teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. We can never fully understand the Word of God without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll never do it. People can talk you into it. You know what my father used to say? If a man come and talk you into something, another man will come along and talk you out of it. That's logical, because it was laid there by men. And you see it, brother? You see it? Oh, yeah. You see it, brother? You see it, don't you see it? And then somebody comes along, a better talker. And he comes along, he talks you out of that which was talked into you. But when the Holy Spirit's in there, and he writes it on the fleshly tablets of your heart, it's permanent. He's the teacher. Hallelujah. You can never receive the correct understanding of the message without it. The Bible clearly tells us no man can teach you. A man can teach you mathematics, he can teach you history, but not a revelation of the Word of God. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which we received of him abideth, and this is indwelling in you. You know, it's the anointing that you have received of him abideth in you, not in church. I pray it is in church too. But it's in you, the anointing's in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But it's the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. He's the teacher. You get the Holy Ghost, he'll teach you. You won't have to argue with the Word of God. If God says it, I believe it. Whatever he says, I believe it. If he says we're to do this, we do it. If he says to be baptized in the name of the Lord, somebody says to me, the Lord hasn't shown me that I need to be baptized. The Bible says he commanded them to be baptized. Commanded, God commands you to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you do it. And if the teacher's in there, he said, that's right, that's what I said. Go into all the world, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's his name. The name of my Father is Reg Searle. Isn't that wonderful? Simple. And if he said to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that is his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit shows you that very clearly. And nobody was ever baptized in the Bible in the titles. No one. Nowhere in the Scripture will you find anyone baptized in titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When Jesus said, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, God showed the early church that the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were all baptized, 3,000 souls that day, in his name. And we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Here's a very important reason, another reason why you should receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this is so important to us. The Comforter has come. He sends you a Comforter, Sister Marnie. A Comforter. When things get tough, he's in there. He'll comfort you. He just knows how to comfort. Who believes the Lord knows how to comfort you? Jesus promised to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. If there's ever a day that we need the Comforter, it's here in this 2021. We're going to need it for 2022 as well. Things are getting bad, and they're going to get worse. But we have an exit. We're going up. Make sure you have make sure your rocket is filled with the Holy Ghost to get you out of here. Let's turn to John 14:25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, Jesus said. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, he's the teacher, see, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So this is really, really important. And nobody can comfort you like the Holy Ghost. I can tell you, there's nothing more comforting than to be filled with the Spirit of God and to feel the Spirit in you. So wonderful. Who believes that? Even up in Ruatoria, he'll be there too. See, sister, if he's in you, you take him up to Ruatoria. You don't have to come to church to get filled up. He's with you and shall be in you. This is just so wonderful. I'm speaking from experience. I know how God comforts me. And I need it. And you do too. Praise be to God. He'll send him, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Once he comes into you, he's there to stay. He didn't come and say, oh, look, I think I'll just go my way now, if you don't mind. No, he's there to stay. If he comes into you, Paul, he's there to stay. This is why it's so important. Sister Maria, Brother Wiki, Curry, Brother Curry. That's why we need it. You can have him in Makaraka. You can have him in Gisborne. You can have him around the world. We need that baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a reality. This is not sort of fairyland imagination. This is real. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will know it. We'll get on to that. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Lord. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that beautiful? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You read that in Hebrews 13:5. That's why we all need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He comes as a wonderful comforter. When he runs against you, he'll stand with you. This is wonderful. Who believes this?
Amen.
I believe with all my heart. I feel it's comforting right now. He's always ready. He's always ready to be there. Now, another thing is very important. He makes you an effective witness. You can't even be an effective witness without the Holy Ghost. You can try, get all the scriptures written down and quote them. That's good. Not against that. But it's not got the punch unless he's living in you. The bottom line is we must know what we're talking about. How can you say, if I'm eating an apple here, I say to you, Paul, is it a sweet apple or a sour apple? And you'd say, how do I know? I haven't tasted it. That's it. How can you know the Holy Spirit's real unless you've got him in you? You've got to know what you're talking about. We must taste and see that the Lord is good. Then you can tell somebody, is this real? Yes. How do you know? He's living right now in my heart. I know his presence. So we need it to be the power to witness. You know what Jesus said in Acts 1:8? But ye shall need some Gisborne water. That's better. In Acts 1:8, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. This is why we need it, brethren. This is why we can't testify and witness. We try and they sort of turn you down all the time. And they can do that as well, of course. But when you've got it in you, they see it in your eyes. They know that you know what you're talking about. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, even Gisborne. Didn't know that was in there, did you? But it says the uttermost part of the earth. He's with you. You've experienced the Holy Ghost. You cannot witness without it. You give it a try and just falls flat. That's why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is to be a witness to your family, even to your neighbors. They know. We come to the last one, but there's many other things, but I just want to speak up the last one, why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's your personal wedding garment. You've got to have a wedding garment to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You cannot get in there without it. Church membership won't do it. Being gifted won't do it. You need to have the garment of the Holy Ghost upon you to get at that table. Brother Brandon made this statement. It's pretty good. the Virgin Mary, before God could ever put the wedding garment on her, the Virgin Mary, she had to go up into the day of Pentecost and get so full of the Spirit till she staggered like she was drunk. This is the Virgin Mary. Every Catholic listening, she had to get it, and so do you. You ain't coming in anything else. Just remember that. Yes, sir. Well, listen to this, he says. Listen to this. If the wedding garment is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, how are we going to be represented any other way? If the first church age had to come by the door, Christ Jesus, be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost to put on the wedding garment, how are we coming any other way? If you come by the Methodist, or by the Baptists, or by the Pentecostals, or by the Gisborne Christian Fellowship, nice bit. It'll make any difference. You can use what you like. Or any other denomination, you'll be bound and cast into outer darkness. That's what this parable said. Now, he said, take John 10, I believe it is. He said, I am the door. See, I am the door. You enter in by. Now there he stands at the door. There is the man that puts on the robe on him, the Holy Spirit to give him the robe of righteousness when he comes in. This is at the wedding supper. This is what we're planning to be at. Who wants to be at the wedding supper? Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful. Now, this man had come in through some denomination back through the window over there, some slip hole. And he got in at the table and sat down. And when the bridegroom comes, the Lord Jesus, when he comes into the room and he looks around, he says, what are you doing here like that without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Can't do it. And all these things. So how did he ever get in there? We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to go to that wedding supper. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be raptured and be caught in the clouds. Do you believe this? I believe with all my heart and soul, this is my life, this is what I long for. So if I'm not here one day, I pray you won't be here either. I don't want anyone left here behind, it'd be a terrible thing. But one day we're not going to be here. We're here one day and not the next. Where are these people gone? The rocket fired. And we went up and we met our Lord in the air. And he took us to that wedding supper because we had a wedding garment on, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So in closing, if you want to write these things down, you're welcome. Or maybe I should have had it on the board. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to keep us and preserve us in this evil day. You need it. You're not going to get away with it. The church cannot do it. We need it to give us overcoming power of every temptation of this evil world. It's full of it. Everything you touch is a temptation. We need him, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be our teacher, to guiding us in this confused age. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost as our comforter in a troubled world. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be an effective witness in this unbelieving time. And we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit as our guarantee that we're going to be there. It's our guarantee. It's our ticket. You know, I've said this many times overseas, many meetings. When I get to the end of the sermon, I say to these folks, it's a token. It's like an airline ticket. And you're going to catch the plane. And I've caught many. And you're going to travel on this airplane. You've got your ticket. But there could be somebody come in, all dressed up. They're going on this flight. They're going to visit the Pacific Islands. They've got all the cameras around the neck. Got their floral shirts on. Got the sunglasses on. I don't know what travelers meant to look like these days, but You can be all dressed up to go on the plane. You come up to the counter and say, "Lady, it's a lovely day today." She said, "Yes, it is." "It's a lovely day for flying." "Yes, it is." "I'm looking forward to it." She said, "That's good." And you know, with these ladies behind the counter on check-in, you know, they swap jobs. They eventually go to the plane where you go through the door to get on the plane. You see the same person there. And you're being cheerful and say, "Oh, hi, it's still a lovely day to fly, isn't it?" She says, "Yes, it is." "Oh, well, I'm on my way," and you've got your handbag, you've got your cameras and everything, you're going to go. You walk up there and she says, "Excuse me, yes? Could I have your ticket, please?" "Nah, well, actually, I travel all the time. It's in my bag, but ticket, please." But I'm a seasoned traveler. I know what it is to fly. I know what to do. She said, "That's nice. Could I have your ticket, please?" She said, "You're not going on that airplane without a ticket." And brother and sister, that's exactly what's going to happen. People say, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I've gone to church every Sunday." That's wonderful. It's commendable. "I've served the Lord. I've been good to the poor. I've done all these things." The Lord's going to say, "Could I have that token, please?" Without the token, you cannot go into that wedding supper. You cannot even be raptured. Think about it. We all need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Who loves the Lord?
Amen.
Shall we just stand to our feet, brother and sister? We must have. Just read you one quote I've got here. Really good. From Brother Branham. The person said, "Will only those who have the baptism of the Holy Ghost be in the rapture?" Good question. Will only those who have the baptism of the Holy Ghost be in the rapture of the church? Or will all believers be indicated? And he said, "We haven't got time to justify that. But brother, only the Holy Ghost bride will be in the rapture. Not church membership." Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee this morning. We thank You for Your precious word. It's so clear. You made it very clear. We'll see through the other sermons, Lord. It's just everywhere You've confirmed it. We all need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we can be happy. We can sing. We can shout. We can jump. And that's all wonderful. But when You come, Lord, You're looking for one thing, is that token. You're looking for the Holy Spirit to be upon our life. I pray, Lord, You'll bless everybody here and everybody that's listening, that they will seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You won't get it through just teaching. You won't get it through learning. And those things are all necessary. But, Lord, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I just pray, Lord, You'll bless each one. May this word find good ground today. Go into every heart, Lord, and create a desire in Your children to be truly filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray You'll bless us and help us. May we be found ready with that wedding garment on. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Brother Ann said, is the wedding garment. That's the only way into the marriage supper of the Lamb. I pray, God, You'll bless each one. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thou Christ, a burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. For tip today we claim, send the fire
is the Holy Ghost.
Look down. Why could we hear a cry?
Brother and sister, we get into the other services, how to prepare to receive the Holy Ghost. There's an access to receive it. Not just, oh, I'll have it, Brother Howard, give it to me now. No, we cannot. You've got to be prepared to receive it. There has to be honest repentance. There has to be a separation from the things of the world. You've got to mean business with God, and He promised to give those who repent and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall receive the Holy Ghost. So there's a way. I want that way. I want the access into that presence to be filled with the Spirit. Who wants that? It's for you and for those that are far off. Even as many as our Lord God shall call, wherever you are, whatever country you're in, you can be a part of this. Oh, it's such a holy desire. God puts it in there. I can't put it in you. I can preach until I'm blue. That'll never do it. Brother, sister, God's going to put it in you. Draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. That's the promise of the Word of God. You say, oh, I'll try it out. Forget it. Don't even waste your time. Don't even waste God's time. But we'll get into those subjects as we go into the other series, other part of it. So, brother and sister, I really encourage you. This is not just a wish list. This is a must. Jesus said you must be born again. You must go all the way with God. And time's getting short and it's running out. Praise the Lord. Just sing this last verse here and ask Brother Lee to come. Brother and sister, as we get to the end of the series, we're going to have prayer for those to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says they laid hands upon them and they were filled with the Spirit. So we're going to give that opportunity, but you need to be prepared. You need to come believing. You need to do the right things, and that's why we're going through the Scriptures to show us what God requires of you is to surrender all to Him, and He will fill you. He's longing to give you the Holy Ghost more than you are to receive it. Praise the Lord. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. The fire, send the fire, send the fire. Sing the fire, sing the fire.
I keep thinking, a man that loved the Lord told me many years ago, he said, if you haven't got the Holy Spirit, you've got the promise in the Scriptures. You've got the promise. The Lord said, repent. Yeah? Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive. That's a promise. God's promise. Hold on to it. Don't give up. Don't think, well, it didn't happen. Keep pressing in. Because much as you want the Holy Spirit, the Lord wants you to have it more so. Okay, we're just going to pray now, and then we'll finish with a song we've got here, number 575. But we'll just pray for before we break up. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what we've heard. Just let us know, each one of us in our heart, where we stand. Help us, Lord, to understand. And there is only one way, and that's God's way. And we thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. And you make this offer to everybody in the world. But it's only those that are going to respond that have that promise. And they're going to need to chase for it, hold it for it, expect it to happen. And it will. Bless the fellowship, Lord, and the luncheon. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless the food to us, and be with us for the afternoon meeting. I understand it's a communion meeting. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Light the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. But there's something about that name.
May the Lord bless you as you go.